If you are to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Psalm 34 and verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And our subject this morning is very simply based on that verse, tasting that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, this is a wonderful evangelistic verse. Even just the first part of it, taste and see that the Lord is good, full of the gospel. We have included this verse on our new evangelistic tracts and flyers. Some of us were out yesterday distributing calendars and flyers to the local community. And we've included this verse on the back of our flyer, Taste and See That the Lord is Good, because it is a verse full of invitation. It's an invitation. That's what we want to do to all our neighbours. We want to invite them in to hear the gospel of grace. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. That is, of course, the great purpose of the people of God, the great purpose of the church, to invite people to hear the word of God, to hear the gospel message, to know that it is good, full of goodness, nothing to fear, but only everything to gain. This is our primary purpose. And of course, as you know, or as many of you will know, every Sunday morning, this service, it is an evangelistic service. It's not a teaching service particularly. That's in the evening when we delve deeper into the Word of God. But this morning's service is evangelistic, to invite people into the kingdom of God. Not to invite people necessarily to join our church, although we do, of course, invite people to join our church. We enjoy people coming to be members of our church. But that's not the great aim of this service. It's to invite people to know salvation for their souls. It's about their souls. It's not about this church. It's about the good of their souls. They're standing with God. This is what this service is all about. Inviting people to know these things and to ask themselves, am I right with God? That's the great purpose of these things. It's the great purpose of the Christian church. And well, not just for unbelievers. We know there are some people possibly here with us. Maybe they have professed faith for many years, but they are not truly the Lord's. They're not true born-again believers, true Christians. So this is why we rehearse the gospel message every week, so that people will test it. Is this my experience? Am I truly saved? Am I truly counted amongst the elect? To hear the gospel and to apply it to themselves. Many people say they are Christians, but sadly, that's not always the truth. And for us who are true believers, well, this is an opportunity to remember the gospel that has saved you and to rejoice in it. True Christians will always want to rejoice in their salvation, in hearing about how they were saved, in hearing what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them. That's the sign of a true Christian. If you're utterly bored by hearing about the gospel, if you're apathetic, if you're sort of, well, you don't really like to hear it, just get through the sermon, then I can go home. That isn't the sign of a true Christian, I'm afraid. Then you really do have to examine yourself. Am I a true Christian? Or am I just coming here for some other reason? For some nominal reason? Outward reason? This is why we have this service, evangelistic service, But the message is always the same. It's always an invitation. And this verse, taste and see that the Lord is good, what an invitation it is. The Lord is good. Well, do we believe that? First and foremost, to start off with, God is good. I used to know somebody who would tell me that as a child, she would often ask her teachers, I assume it was her religious teachers, why is God called God? Is God called God because he is good? Is that why he's called God? God and good, almost the same words. Is that why he is called good? Well, I don't think that is the reason why God is called God. I don't think it has any relation to the word good. But really, when we as Christians have to define what good is, if we have to answer that question, what is good to you? Well, we always answer, it is God. God is good. He is the definition of that which is good. It's not anything else. We look to the word of God. God is good. He defines what is good. Nothing else. Nothing that the world defines as good. We look to the word of God. He is the definition for us. God is good. So many things are good about God, and we could all agree with these things. Even unbelievers would believe in these things and think upon these things as good. The scriptures and even the Old Testament. Some people like to think that the Old Testament is where God is pictured as bad, as wicked, as a bit cruel. But actually in the Old Testament you don't see that. You see so many words of him being merciful. Merciful. Even in the Psalms, Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Are these not good things? The Lord is good. He's full of compassion. How many times do you read that in the Bible? Merciful, gracious, full of compassion, full of love. God is love. That's in the scriptures. God is love. He is the source of love. And are we going to argue that love is not good? Of course it's good, because it comes from God, who is good. God is love. God is good. God is described as being full of loving kindness. Full of loving kindness. Two words that are so good. Love and kindness put together to describe who God is. He is so good. Full of loving kindness. God is described as being patient. It's good to be patient. That is why I always suspect that there are very, very few people who are good in this world, in this society, because there's hardly anyone who's patient. We live in a world where we get everything we want now, and we want everything now. Nobody is patient anymore. You can't be good without being patient. God is good. God is patient. More than that, we read he's long-suffering. He suffers long with people. He is so good. And we have to think about these things, because the world would have us think otherwise. God is pure. God is clean. He is holy. The holy God. He is eternal righteousness, eternal light. There is no corruption in him. There is no stain in him. There is no sin in him at all. He is just good, perfectly good. He is the only one that can be called good. Now I know, well, of course, in this world, we do call each other good. We call our children good. We look at maybe people in our society and think to ourselves, well, that's a good person. He does this, this, and this. But these are by our standards. We look at other people and we judge by our standards. By my standards, that person is good. By my standards, I think this person is good. But when you judge by God's standards, God's holy standards. God in heaven, remember, so pure, so clean. When God looks down upon every one of us, there is none good. There is none pure. Nobody can come to you and say, I am pure, I am righteous. Of course they can't. They know, each and every one of us knows, that we have done things wrong. We have done things wrong, and we have willfully, deliberately done things wrong in our lives. We have willfully, deliberately been selfish at some point in our lives. We have deliberately manipulated people, hateful things we've done. Sometimes we've hated people just because we like to hate people. We just don't like that person. I don't like that person. I'm not going to speak to that person. I'm going to say bad things about that person just because we don't like them. We are not good people by nature. We are impure. We are corrupt. We are sinners. That's what the Bible says. We are sinners. And, we rebel against God. We rebel against his word. That is the greatest sin, to rebel against God and to not want anything to do with him. That is the greatest sin, of course. And, there are many people like that in this world, sadly. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, there may be many people, and I've met many people like this, who say, I examine the Christian faith. I try to go to church and read the Word of God. And, I didn't see anything good about it at all. There wasn't anything amazing about it. I was very unenthusiastic, unimpressed. I didn't taste and see that the Lord is good. I tasted and, didn't taste anything at all. It was boring to me. It was nothing to me. Well, what do we say to people like that? Well, you see, the thing is, when we taste and we don't taste anything of the Lord, it's actually a problem with us. It's because of our sin. We are sick with sin. That's why the Lord doesn't taste good to us. We are sick with sin. And we think about it even in our own physical illnesses and sicknesses. What is the first thing to go when you're sick? When you're sick with the flu? When you're sick with a cold? The first thing to go, you can't taste anything anymore. You can't taste your food. Your food might be very nice, might be very tasty, but you can't taste it. You can't taste the goodness of it because you're sick. It's nothing wrong with the food. The food is perfectly good, but because you are sick, you cannot taste it. It means nothing to you. And that's exactly the same with us. We are sinners. We are sick. There's something wrong with us. So when we hear the word of God and it means nothing to us, it's because we are sick. It's got nothing to do with the word of God. The word of God is good, but we are sick. We can't taste it. And that is a very, very sad thing. That's our human state. That's our human condition. So when we come into this place, our first plea to God, our first prayer to God, Lord, remove my sickness. Remove my sin so that I can taste and see that the Lord is good. I am sick. I am a sinner. I need to know that I can taste of the Lord. I need to have my sickness removed so that I can truly appreciate all that the Lord has done for me. But this verse, an invitation to come and to know the Lord. This is an invitation to trust in the Lord. To trust in the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And then we follow, blessed is the man that trusteth in him, that trusts in God. And this follows very directly from the first part of the verse. You don't taste anything that you don't trust. We have nowadays, outside many restaurants, on the doors of the restaurants, you have these food hygiene ratings nowadays. They have the 5 stars, potentially. And well, nowadays we always look before we go into a restaurant. How many stars has this place got? We always look for that 5 stars. If it's got a 5-star hygiene rating, well, I can trust this place. I can trust to go into this restaurant. I can trust that the food will be clean, will be good. But if you went somewhere and the food hygiene rating, well, maybe it was a 3, maybe it was a 2, maybe somewhere like Ken's Kebabs or something like that, well, you wouldn't quite trust it, would you? You wouldn't trust that food. I'm not going to taste the food from there. I can't trust it. Well, this is an invitation to trust in the Lord. Yes, you can taste. You can taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and trust in me. It's an invitation to trust. We're not used to trusting many things nowadays. Of course we're not. And that's not surprising, because who can you trust nowadays in society? Who can you trust? We look at society. We look at the people in authority. Can you trust them? Can you trust the politicians? Can you trust those people who make the decisions over us? Can you trust the society that is changing before us? This world is changing, morally in particular. Things that were considered immoral 20, 30 years ago, now they're changing. They're being considered as moral. Oh, there's nothing wrong with them. Just trust in us. Trust what we say. Trust that we know better. You don't need to trust the word of God. Just trust us. We know where we're going. If we just adopt these new morals and everything else, everything will be all right. Just trust in us. That's what people say. Can you trust them? Can you trust them really when you see that this world is so full of fear and doubt and anxiety? Can you trust where this world is heading? Well, I don't know about you, but when I see people and society, I don't see a happy place. And I was reading, well, very recently, that so many young people suffer from depression, suffer from even suicidal thoughts, self-harming and all that. Well, can we trust where this society is going if we see this great increase in all these things? You can't trust them. You can't trust them when they say, ignore the Bible. We know where we're going. You can't trust them at all. We must trust the word of God. Trust this word of God. This is where we all fall down. I remember when I was seeking after the Lord, there were many people saying to me, you're going to give your life to God? You're going to give your life to the words of the Bible according to the commandments of the Bible? You can't trust that book. It's full of contradictions. You can't trust it. You can't trust churches. They just take all your money. You can't trust them. That's what people were trying to say to distract me. And well, not just people. There is, of course, a spiritual warfare. There is an enemy of souls. Anybody who seeks the Lord, the enemy of souls, the devil, will come and distract you and say, you can't trust God. I remember this very clearly when I was seeking God. The devil would come and say, you can't trust God. He'll make a fool out of you. You can't live the Christian life. You'll fall, you'll fail. Everybody will laugh at you. You can't trust God. Well, 10 years down the line, I can very certainly say that you can trust God. He will not make a fool of you. He will not let you down. God is faithful even when you are not faithful. That's what I've learned. If there are any seekers here, don't listen to that voice that says you can't trust God. You can't follow him. He'll make a fool of you. That's a lie. That's a lie of the devil. The devil loves to lie and lead people astray. Put all your trust in God. You will find that he will never let you down. Trust him with your life. And you will most certainly prove him. And he will prove you. That is a tremendous thing. You can trust him. You can trust him with your soul, with your salvation. This word is the word of truth. This is how you can trust it, because you know it's true. It's not just something that is written to make us feel good, that is just an opinion, just something I would like to hear. It's truth. It tells us things that we don't like to hear sometimes, but it is truth. And that's how we know we can trust it. It teaches us all we're sinners. It teaches us all that we must stand before God one day and have to give an account of our lives. And when I read it, I knew that these things were true. But it is also true that there is a way of salvation. It is true that Christ has come into this world to make a way of forgiveness for us, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be accepted by God. You can trust it. You can trust that if you come to God, he will in no wise cast you out. No matter how great your sin, you think to yourself, but I've sinned so badly. Can I trust that if I come to God, he will forgive me? Yes, you can trust in him. This is what these words are saying to us. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Well, one other thing that these words speak to us of. Taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. When you taste something, well, it's a very simple thing that you have to do. Anybody can taste something. You don't need to be an intelligent man or woman or child to taste something. You don't have to have training. You don't have to have academic qualifications. You just taste. It talks about the simplicity of salvation. God is not asking you to do anything hard. God is not asking you to earn your way to salvation. Just to do something very simple, very basic. Just to taste. Just to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That when he died on the cross, he was dying for your sin. He was taking the punishment for you. Just trust. Just believe on that. Nothing simple. You don't need to be intelligent. You don't need to be qualified. Just taste. Just understand these things and have faith. Nothing overcomplicated. Just taste. And well, the Lord will reveal himself to you. There will be wonderful things revealed to you if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you trust that he has made full atonement for your sin, that he suffered and died for you, well, there are wonderful things awaiting you. You step into a new world when you're saved. We don't often talk about what it's like to be saved, but let me just spend a few minutes as we close talking about salvation. And in connection with this, when you are saved, well, there are many things you will taste that you have never tasted before. It's like entering into a new world. Maybe some of you have been to exotic countries or lived in exotic countries for a while in your life. And the first thing you need to get used to when you go to a different country is the new food, the new cuisine, what you eat. You've never tasted those things before. Well, it's just like entering into the kingdom of God. There will be things you've never tasted before when you come to Christ, spiritual food. There's peace with God. Peace with God. You've never known peace with God. You've never known what it is to be forgiven. No longer will you have that troubled conscience, that gnawing sense of guilt over past sins. That is all gone. You will taste true peace. I know I am right with God. Never tasted it before, but now you do. You will no longer have any fear of death. No longer any fear of death. I never knew that before, to never be afraid of death. But well, That fear is gone. That fear of growing old is gone. That fear of getting ill is gone. Because you know that even when you die, you go to be with God. You are accepted with Him. You've never tasted those things before. You taste victory over your sins. Sins that you've struggled with for many, many years. Suddenly you taste victory. You can see that you can overcome those sins because God is giving you the strength. You've never had that before, but you have that great victory over sin. Your tastes have entirely changed, as it were. And these things are wonderful. And you taste the love of God. The love of God. Well, now you may think, oh, I've known love before. I've known love with some boyfriend, some girlfriend before. I've known what love is, but not this love. You haven't tasted this love before. This is love of God. God loves you, even though He knows everything about you, all your sins, all the bad things that you've done. Normally, when you have a relationship with someone, there are quite often things that you hide, secrets that you keep from them, because you know that if they know these things, well, they might not love me anymore. They might not want to be with me anymore. But God knows everything about you, all your sins, and yet He still loves you. You've never tasted that love before. He still loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. You've never tasted that love before, that measure of love, that divine love. But you will taste it if you come to Christ. These are wonderful things. This is what you're missing if you do not come to God. But well, it's no good me just telling you how good the Lord is. It's no good me just telling you. A preacher with his words cannot adequately express how good it is to be with the Lord, how good it is to taste of the Lord's goodness. I cannot do it. The Apostle Paul said, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." And we were talking about this to the youngsters just the other day. The unspeakable gift. Why does he say that? Unspeakable. It is because the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation of God is so wonderful that you cannot describe it. We cannot fully explain how good it is to know the Lord. We cannot fully describe the peace and joy that you know. The only way that you can know it is for you to taste it yourself. That's the only way. It's unspeakable. I can't describe it. But if you were to just taste it yourself, then you will know how good the Lord is. So come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, it's an invitation. Nothing to fear. And well, you will praise the Lord forevermore for His goodness. You will be fit to bursting with joy. You won't be able to contain yourself. You will go and evangelize, hopefully in this community. You will share this verse with others who do not know Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Once I tasted Him, and I tasted nothing, but I know that I was sick. But now the Lord, He is so good. He has saved me. He has forgiven all my sin. This is the goodness of the Lord our God. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to Thee and we ask for Thy blessing. Lord, the words in a sermon, in a message are woefully inadequate. We need the Holy Spirit to come and to convict of sin and to cause people to come and to taste, to trust in God, and to know His goodness as never before. Oh Lord, forgive us all our sin. We ask it in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.